I'll just sort this first. Well, I really enjoyed the word that, the prophecy that Angie brought. I thought that I think that a lot of what Angie said, you'll see in the word that I'm bringing today. So it was the prophetic was very good, and I thought, well, yeah, I agree with all of what she said. So yeah, I have a. There is one thing that I'd like to bring up, and then one of them is the Song of Moses. Now, the Song of Moses was a song that it was Miriam sang it, but all Israel joined in, and it was in Exodus 15. But the Song of Moses was a time where everybody, they rejoiced because they saw their slave masters drowned, gone. The God himself destroyed their slave masters and they were gone. Now, in a similar way, that's exactly what Jesus did for you and I. Now, I've got a song here and it's called Victory in Jesus Christ. Now, it's an old AOG song, so I'm going to sing it, all right? So please bear with my voice, okay? And then I'm going to talk about each line in this song. It goes like this. Victory we have in Jesus Christ, forgiveness for he was crucified, wholeness in every part of me, deliverance for he has set me free. I'm reigning with him upon the throne and conquering all Satan's power below, living a life with Christ as Lord and King. Right, now that I'll put you through that. Now, are we living in victory this morning? Are we living in victory? Okay, now I ask you I ask that question because only you can answer that. Now, this is a song, it's in itself, that is a proclamation for all Christians to be living in victory. If we sing a song like this, I sang this song to your pastor over in India. I said, "Have you heard this song?" Because I had the privilege of rooming with Dave, and we had some fun times. We really did, and you know, we had some conversations and that. And he says, "No, I've never heard it, but it's an old AOG. I'm pretty sure it's AOG, and it's a very good line of a proclamation of our faith in Jesus and what he's done for us. And it's the forgiveness, for he was crucified. The debt has been paid. And Jesus said from the cross in the Gospel of John, it's finished. It's finished. What was finished? There's Satan's rule in the area of sin over all of the Lord's people. He did that. He said that from the cross. Wholeness in every part of me, spirit, soul, and body. Has this gone a little bit dead, or am I talking too loud? Oh, right, okay. Spirit, soul, and body, every part of us, we have wholeness because he's given it. He didn't just die for us on the cross. He died for us for our physical being. And in the deliverance, for he has set me free. Well, no more chains. No more chains to sin. Sin has been defeated. And yet, we can ask ourselves, why do I always sin? Why is sin still there? Well, we'll talk about that as we go. And then it says, I'm reigning with Christ as Lord, reigning with him upon the throne. Well, are you? Are we? Who's on the throne of your life? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. Who's on the throne of our life? And conquering all Satan's power below. Well, we should be. We should be because of all the authority and power that Jesus gave us at Calvary. We should be. And living a life with Christ as Lord and King, well, again, it's all about who is on the throne. Who's on the throne of your life? Now, when I was putting this together, I was praying that God would open the ears and the hearts of everybody hearing this message in church today, everybody that's in here, that you would receive it. Now, and then I heard it in the prayer room, and it's just incredible, but the word goes on that, yes, I'm confirmation after confirmation that this is a word for today. Now, and I pray that God would give you a greater understanding of what he has for you. A greater understanding of what he's had for you. Now, I'm just going to open in prayer and we'll get into the word. How's that? Father God, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would touch everybody in this place, Father, at their need. That you, Lord, would fill their every need that is required, what they are seeking you for. They are seeking your face, Father God, for a need. I don't know what their need is, Lord God. The person next to each person in here does not know. But you know, Father. You know exactly what their need is, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will bring the walls down today, all of those walls down for them to receive you in such a way, Father God, Lord, that every area of their life is consumed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is where it is, church. Our precious Father has a majestic plan for every single one of us. Every single one of us. You've been called. Every one of you have been called one of his children. You've been called by name. You are sealed. Sealed exactly the same way as when a man gives a woman a ring as a bride. It's an engagement ring. What did the Lord do when you first accepted him? He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. You are his. You have the covering of the blood. And you're set free. Set free. Listen very closely, church. I really believe that this is true. That if we pray for somebody in prayer, or if we're being prayed for, we should be able to receive. But to receive, we must have all confidence, all trust, and all faith in our Lord, that he will not fail you. Because you know what? God doesn't fail any one of us. We are the ones that fail God. And God is always there to pick us up. He always is. So, I'd ask you a question today, just a private question. It's a personal one, I suppose. Are you dry? Are we dry? Have we been dry? Have we been dry lately? Are we dry now? Because he is there for each one of us. He is there for each one of us. Examine ourselves, and we need to examine ourselves and take stock. If we're dry, why are we dry? Have we surrendered our lives to the Lord? Have we surrendered, you know, completely and totally? Well, only you can answer that. Because there's some things in our lives that we don't surrender. For one reason or another, it just happens. And if we take stock of our lives, we'll be able to see what is it that we haven't surrendered. Now, there is such a thing as the abundant life. And if I was going to put a name on this, I'd call it the abundant life. Living the abundant life, how do we do it? Right? Why are we dry? Why are we dry? Why is it? Are we just going through the motions? Are we just going through the motions of the Christian walk? And we're not fully into it with God? Look, I'll ask this. Have we surrendered everything? Because when it comes to the Word of God and to having a relationship with God, it's surrender, surrender, and surrender. So in taking stock of our own lives, we need to be honest with ourselves and say, I haven't surrendered everything. I'm dry. I may be in sin, but what sin is it? Only you know what you haven't surrendered in your life. And that is the reason why things don't completely and totally go right. That's why we're not living the abundant life, because we're hanging on to things in our lives that are preventing us from going forward in our Christian walk. Now, it's a confronting question that I'm asking, but I'm not asking you to tell me, but I'm asking you to ask yourself, because God wants you to surrender every corner of your heart. He wants you to surrender every room of your heart. Every part of your heart He wants, because there's no room. There's no room for anything in your life that is not of God. Because it's powerful. Once we surrender these things, our life really changes. Really changes. It's a point where there is no, as far as I see it, and God has shown me, is that when we surrender every area of our life, and I mean totally, we've got to do it until we come to that point where there is nothing else, no self left in our life, but the Holy Spirit on the throne. If the Holy Spirit's on our throne, your life will go forward in leaps and bounds in the Lord. But we can be holding on to things for a long, long time in our lives. We can be Christians for 20, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And to this, they haven't progressed in their Christian walk because of what they haven't surrendered. It's so, so important, brothers and sisters. And if you want to see change in your life, in the area, because this dryness can cause a lot of problems in our lives. If you want to see change in your life, and change in your family, and change in work, change in your walk, it needs to be done. Because why? God fights for you every single day and every single moment. We need to know how much God is fighting for you. He fights for us all the time. Jesus is there interceding every day, every moment for you and I. We need to take that stock of our own lives and walk the walk. That's what's needed. We need to walk the walk. And if we don't surrender, then the enemy can play with that in your life. The enemy will play with that and bring condemnation. Now, the Word says there's no condemnation on those who are in Christ Jesus. But believe me, there is a time when these things happen and the enemy can shovel it onto us. And I mean shovelfuls of condemnation. We can get so down in ourselves and become so dry because we haven't surrendered everything. We need to surrender, surrender, and surrender. That's what it's all about. Now, Jesus wanted, and he still does, he wants to equip us with the third person in the Godhead. There's a lot of Christians who haven't received the third person in the Godhead. And why? Because they've held back. There's always a reason for it. They've held back, some people think it's not necessary. But once you are baptized in the third person of the Lord, of the Godhead, then your life will just change. You will walk in the power and authority like you've never believed you could. and it'll just move. Your life will just move forward, and so far forward that you will say, well, why haven't I seen this before? Now, a moment ago, I said about things going on in... Hold on. Here we go. I want to give you two scriptures. I want to give you two scriptures here. One is Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. Okay? And I've used this in last time I came, okay? But I'm using this again because of the reason it's for another purpose. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. In who? In Jesus Christ. And through him, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And I'll give you another scripture to go with that, is chapter 1, verse 22 to 23, which speaks of you and I. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church. Brothers and sisters, who's the church? We are. Everything for the church. And we are the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, if you can see it here, God gave Jesus, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, his son. Jesus then in turn gave that to the church, to you and I. So we walk in this power and authority. And we should be walking in that power and authority in the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about the wilderness. I don't know. I don't know how many Christians have gone through the wilderness, but I went through it, and it wasn't a very good time. When we go through the wilderness, it's a time when it's a dry time. It is definitely a dry time. And I was praying and praying, and my prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling of God, of his throne room. And it would put me in tears, but it wasn't just tears, it was sobbing. I felt so abandoned. I felt so abandoned from God because of what was actually happening. I thought, I'm not hearing from him. It's like he's not there. And I just felt so how would you say, deserted. But he wasn't. He was there. He never deserted me. He says, his word says he'll never forsake me. Now, never leave me nor forsake me. That's what his word says. And that's the same with all of us. When we go through the dry time, it can turn into a real wilderness. And the way that we get through it is to press in. We press in. To the Lord in prayer. In prayer. I was on my knees so many times it was just incredible. It strengthened my prayer time. It strengthened everything, my faith and all that, because God wanted to draw me closer. And that's why he sent me through the wilderness time. And when Jesus left us, he wanted to give us the comforter. He sent us a comforter, didn't he? He sent us the Comforter, and he wanted to, he came 50 days after, 50 days after, I'm trying to find the spot, 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, right, he sent the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was such a desirable gift. It was such a divine gift given to the church, and that's the church was birthed. At this time. But it was also a doorway to the treasury of the Most High. All the giftings, powerful things that came into all the Christians' lives. right? Because they only sought him. They surrendered their life to the Lord. New Christians never believed, but what did they do? They repented. They repented, brothers and sisters, of their sin, and they became Christians and they were baptized of the Holy Spirit. There was 3,000 on that day, and the number grew. I think I've got this page. Church, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, He just takes the dryness away. He takes the dryness away, the wilderness. All that wilderness, this barrenness, he turns it into a greenness. He turns it into a freshness of life. Freshness of life. God wants you to know that there is a place where you may come, where you can be filled and refilled. God fills us. And he comes as an assurance and sustaining power spiritually. He comes as the person, the Holy Spirit. And he will wash over all the barrenness, all the wilderness. He will come and flood until your whole life becomes vitalized by heaven. Until heaven sweeps through you. Until you are so absolutely filled with divine possibilities that he dwells within us and turns everything inside out, upside down, and we become a new creation. Now, I don't know how many people here have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I don't know whether there is some that haven't received it. But I believe that this is a word for today. God wants to encourage you to receive everything that he has for you. Church, the Spirit of the living God sweeps through every weakness in our life. Every weakness in our life. He sweeps through and he cleanses and he turns it all around. Because why? Because we have surrendered every part of our life to him. We really need to know our God. And there was one scripture there. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17. And it's a good scripture, because it's a scripture that Paul is talking to the Ephesians, and it's a prayer to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, if you were going to have the truths written on your hearts, we need to know the scriptures and the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. We need to know the power of the blood. We need the revelation of the cross in our life and the authority we have been given at Calvary. If we have all of this, we have victory. We have victory in our life. We need to be able to have that time with the Lord. So, so important for us to have that prayer time, because it's communion with God. You know, it doesn't work when a husband and wife doesn't talk. If they don't talk, the marriage doesn't last, because there's no communication. If there's communication between you and God, you grow. You pour out your heart to the Lord. The Lord listens to you. And we need that. We need that communion with God. We need that communion with our husbands and our wives. We must have it, because it's the only way that a relationship works. Friends, if we have that relationship with God, it's so, so important. I can't express it enough. for us to have a really good prayer life, to press in, to speak to the one that we should know, the God that we worship, the God that we praise, the one who has saved us and has taken us to heaven, the one that has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We need all that, brothers and sisters. We need to have that relationship with the Most High. Jesus gave us that chance to have that relationship. He was the one that died on the cross. He was the one that took all of our sin, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, and took everything that the devil would throw at all of us. He pulled it down and he destroyed it. By what? By being submissive, by surrendering himself to the cross. We need to be able to surrender ourselves. Each one of us, surrender ourselves, pick up our cross, walk with our cross. But remember, the third person in the Godhead wants to be a part of your life. And we are able to have that. We are able to have that through Christ, through seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for tongues or anything like that. It was never just for people to speak in tongues. Tongues is just a gift, but it's an important gift because it shows that who we are. You know, and all the other gifts are so important to have in our lives. But we will not be able to move in every gift, but God will allow you to use each gift at any time that you really need it. He will allow it. He will allow you to use a gift that you maybe haven't used before. But he will do it. Because why? He has a relationship with you. You're his child. And he will just pour out his heart and his life into you. Brothers and sisters, that's where it's at. It's where it's at is virtually a relationship with the Most High. It's a relationship and it's reading the Word of God. Now, the disciples didn't have the Word. They didn't have the Word. We're lucky enough to have the Word because it's all been printed. They never had it. All they had was a relationship with God. That's why they moved, and they moved in such power and authority. But we have the Word. We are so blessed. The church today is so blessed with the Word of God. We need it. We need to know what we have in Christ. We need to know our God. We need to know the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we get to that place, right, is to have that relationship. Now, remember, there's a time there when we pray for somebody and we pray and we have all the confidence, all the trust and all the faith that person's going to receive. Now, we should also have all the confidence, all the trust and all the faith that we will receive when someone's praying for us, that our God will not fail us. He doesn't fail. He never fails us. He's always there. Brothers and sisters, you know, it's just such a love that the Father has for us, and we need to get close to him. And that chapter 1, verse 17 in Ephesians, right? We need to know our God. Paul said that you may know him. That you may know him. Don't neglect the time that you should have with the Lord. Don't neglect reading his word. The Lord tells you today, do not ignore me. Do not ignore me, because it's important. It's important that his church knows all of this, that his people, his children know him, because, man, we're going to spend eternity in heaven together. And when we're taken there, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time. We will know our God, and we will know the love and the compassion and the mercy, all of that. He gives us all of that. Brothers and sisters, it's like the enemy will tremble. If the enemy will tremble when you go to work or anywhere like that in a place, the enemy will tremble. Because why? Because you know. You know the Lord. And you know why? You know what will happen to you? You'll become contagious. You know, COVID's got nothing on us. It's got nothing on us. COVID's got nothing. Because why? We have that power and authority. We will be contagious to the world. That's what God wants us to be. Contagious. To be contagious to the world. And draw people to Him. You know, His Holy Spirit draws the people, right? But the Holy Spirit is seen in you. The Holy Spirit is seen in you, brothers and sisters. And we need to display that to the world. So it's surrender, surrender, and surrender. That's what it's all about. Surrender the things in your life that's not good. You know, I want to talk about my past. I was an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic, right? And I wasn't one that went to AA, right? But I became a Christian. And I thought, oh, this is terrible. I came home one day and I said to my wife, I said, you know, this was a week later. I said, I don't swear anymore. And I thought, oh. And another time I came home and I says, you know, because my wife didn't know that I was an alcoholic. And when I became a Christian, it just started to drop off. So I went from that to light beer. And I thought, well, that's a step. And I thought, well, you know, the Holy Spirit wasn't happy with that. God wasn't happy with that. And so I went to Coke. I was drinking 18 cans of Coke at work a day. Now, I don't know what was worse for me, the beer or the Coke. You know? So I just didn't. And I wanted to get rid of this in my life. And that was my past. And then when I was down in Manjimup, mind you, I smoked as well. And I found it so hard to smoke. And this is about surrendering things. I found it so hard to give up smoking. And I'll confess it to my brothers and sisters because, you know, you get what you look at. You get what you see. That's it. That's me. And I couldn't stop smoking. I found it really, really hard. Now, we went to Manjimup, and on the front lawn of this house that we lived in Manji, I just had enough. It drove me to tears. And it was the condemnation. The old devil was shoveling it on me, and he knew what I was doing. I never let my wife see me smoke. I never let my kids see me smoke. No Christian saw me smoke. No one in the world saw me smoke. I was a wardrobe smoker. Eh? I was a wardrobe smoker. And anyway, I fell down on my knees on the front lawn. And I said, and tears running down my cheeks. And I said, Father, I can't do this. And you know what? I was an elder. I was an elder and I hid it well. See, we hide our sin. We hide our sin. And we can do it really well. But who knows? God knows. God knows everything. You can hide it from the person sitting next to you or from your husband and your wife and things like that. You can hide it. But God knows. When I was having a cigarette, God was present. You know, and so was the enemy. And he saw it. And he convicted me. Like the Holy Spirit convicted me. The devil used it against me. And I was on the front lawn on my knees. I had tears running down my cheeks. And I said, Father, I can't do this anymore. Father, I cannot do this anymore. Help me. Help me, please. And you know what? This is exactly what happened. I said, and I you know, the word says, your yes be yes and your no be no. Right? That's what it says. But I took an oath. I had to take an oath. And when I did it, it was like, Father, before you, Jesus, before you, Holy Spirit, and all the angels and all the witnesses in heaven, I will not touch another cigarette again. And you know what? The next morning, I didn't even feel like one. And I never smoked since. See? But that is when you've painted yourself in a corner and I could see the Lord rubbing his hands together and saying, Son, now I can do something with you. And then my life started to turn around and change. More than what it ever did. And because I gave up a habit that I was hiding. Brothers and sisters, we have habits, but our God, and we have habits and we have vices and all of that, but our God will not allow. He's a very jealous God. That's what I learned, a jealous God. And he will not share you with another God, another vice, or another habit, because it's a controlling factor in your life and it's not God. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. And once you come to know him, right, all these things drop off. When we surrender, all these things drop off. And we know our God because of what we have that relationship with him. The Holy Spirit will just continually move on your life. And, you know, there will be things in your life. You know, we have a time of when we first become Christians. It's a, you know, when we first become Christians, it's a time when we've given our hearts to the Lord, of course, and it's a cleansing time, you know. It's a cleansing time. He sweeps out the house, and then there's little rooms in our house that we don't give things away. We don't give them. We don't allow those things to go. We hold on to them. Little habits, little things that God wants you to get rid of, and the Holy Spirit is onto you and convicting you about, give it to me, give it to me. And you know what? Our God, how precious our Father is, he is so patient. He'll sit back and he'll wait for things for you to actually give it up, or for things to go wrong in your life. And he will then act upon the request again. And he'll wait and he'll bring it up, and then all of a sudden the penny will drop. And when we find that the penny drops of what we haven't surrendered, then something will happen. And we surrender it to him. And then everything else starts to drop away. He is so patient with us, our precious Father. And I praise God for his Son, because I wouldn't be standing here. None of you would be sitting there at all if it wasn't for Jesus. If it wasn't for God reaching down, you know, it's amazing how things happen in our lives and what God does to get you to take notice of him. He will wait. He will wait for you to do all these things, for these things to drop off. When you give them to him and surrender them, things will happen in your life. Change will come. Yeah. Now, I believe that this morning was just a time that I wanted to encourage you. You know, started off a bit rocky because my notes were back to front. Sorry, but yeah. But look, once you start speaking from the heart, it all goes. But still, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. Encourage you today. Give God a go. Surrender. And surrender and surrender. And I'll keep repeating that because it's true. That's all we have to do, is surrender, because that's what he wants. And it's when we do that, he can do something with us. But I encourage you to know your God. You have been called. You have been called. Know your calling. Know your calling. And when you come to that place of knowing God and the calling that he has on your life, you'll really do something about the things in your life that aren't right. Okay? Now, I'm going to pray for people if they want to be prayed for. And there's one more thing that we need, that I believe, one truth. And the truth of everything that I've been saying here is that the only way that we can have and carry the presence of God with us wherever we go is if we fully belong to him. That's the only way that we can have the very presence of God in our lives, is if we let him have his way in ours. Amen? Okay. Father God, Lord, I pray, Father God, for all those people that aren't here right now, for all those people that are at home, Father, that are sick. Lord, I ask, Father God, wherever they are right now, on the couch, watching TV, wherever they are, I pray, Father, that you would bless them with your very presence, that you will touch them from head to toe, that Father God, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will go wherever they are, and Father, that he will consume their sickness and their disease, or whatever it might be, Father, and Father God, that they would be healed and set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I will pray for people if they want to be prayed for. I'll leave that to you.